Today's daf is Vachem Daf Tzadi Zayin. We're holding Tzadi Vavam Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Vavam Beis. So the Mishnah is going to discuss when and how we do Mariko Ishtifa. Since we already have Mishnah to discuss Kibbutz Bagadim, now we're moving on to Mariko Ishtifa. Then the Gemara is going to have two explanations why the kelim that are used to cook korbanos on Yantif don't require Mariko Ishtifa until Yantif is over. We're going to see that no matter how long Yantif lasts, even though Yantif is a week long, you only need to do Mariko Ishtifa after Yantif is over, and you don't need to purge it anytime in between. So we're going to have two explanations why that might be the case. And then we're going to explain the machlokas, whether Marika is bechamin or not. There's going to be a machlokas whether heat is used in order to accomplish Marika. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss what happens to meat that's cooked with other meat that has a different halachic status, meaning in what way does one piece of meat affect another piece of meat when they happen to be cooked together. The Gemara is going to discuss the source for the idea that if a blia is only in part of a chaticha, only in part of a piece of meat, then you only need to remove that part that has the blia in it, and it's not necessary to remove the entire piece of meat. The Gemara is going to have two explanations of why you can't eat kutchin that touched bus or puzzle based on a seidok halos hasei, meaning after all, you'll say, okay, kutchin touched bus or puzzle, so now it becomes puzzle, so now it's asr to eat it. Why is it asr to eat it? You have a mitzvah hasei to eat kutchin, so shouldn't we say a seidok halos hasei, and therefore the mitzvah is still operative, even though there is an isr to eat it because of the psul? So why don't we apply a seidok halos hasei? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the source that meat that touches any type of carbon and is boleya becomes like that carbon. Where do we find that that's the case? That meat that comes in contact, in enough contact with carbon meat, that it's boleya, some of its juices or some of its flavor, that it now becomes like the carbon meat as far as all of the chumras, all of the halachas of the carbon meat. Where do we derive that from? And the Gemara is also going to discuss what we learn from carbonos mincha to other carbonos. That there's a pasuk that seems to tell us that carbon mincha sheds light on other carbonos. So we're going to discuss how that's the case as well. So let's begin Tzadi Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the very bottom of the page. So the Mishnah discusses the time for Mariko Ishtifa and what is Mariko Ishtifa. Rabbi Tavan Omer, Bishol Mitchilas Harayel, that if you cooked in a kli all the way at the beginning of Yantif, you still don't need Mariko Ishtifa. Yavashol Bokol HaRegel, you can use it the entire Yantif without doing Mariko Ishtifa. V'cham Omerim Ad Zman Achila. The Cham say, no, you're only allowed to cook without Mariko Ishtifa until the end of the Zman Achila of the Korban that was cooked in it. So if on day one of Yantif you cooked a Korban Shlamin, and a Korban Shlamin could be eaten, for 2 days and one night, you only have till the end of day two on Yantif to do Mariko Ishtifa. You must do Mariko Ishtifa by the time that Korban can no longer be eaten. But that is a machlokas. That's what the Chacham say. Tanakama, Rabbi Tarfon rather, said not that way, that you do Mariko Ishtifa only once at the end of Yantif, and you can keep on using it and cooking in it on Yantif. So now says the Mishnah, Mariko Ishtifa. What does Mariko Ishtifa mean? Marika ke Marika Sakos. It's just like Marika Sakos. The Gemara is going to have to explain what the world that means. What's Marika Sakos? Ushtifa, it's like you look up a word in the dictionary, it just says that word, you know, like, okay. Ushtifa ke Shtifa Sakos. And Shtifa is Shtifa Sakos. Mariko Ishtifa bitzonin. Both Mariko Ishtifa are done with cold water. Hashapud vaha'askala magilin bechamin. If you have a spit upon which something roasts, you put roasted meat on the spit, like a shish kebab kind of stick or something. The askala, or you have like a grate, a barbecue grate. So the way to kasher them out is doing hag'ala b'chamin, using now boiling water in order to kasher it out. That is not the way that we kasher things when we're kashering stam for kashering purposes. Anything that comes in direct contact with fire, we don't rely on hag'ala. We do libud, it needs direct fire. That's where the blowtorching stuff comes in, and that's where, right, getting it to self-cleaning ovens up to 1,000 degrees or whatever, you know, that's to do libud. But in this context, it's good enough to do haga'alah. So we're going to have to explain why that's the case. We're actually, I don't think we explained that in today's daf, but the Gemara at the very end of the Masechta Avodah Zarah explains why that's the case, why we do haga'alah, even though l'chora should really require libun. Okay, so says the Gemara now. My time is Rabbi Tarfon. Why does Rabbi Tarfon hold that if you cook in a kli at the beginning of Yantif, you can continue to use that kli the entire Yantif without doing Mariko Shtifa, because the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says when it comes to Karban Pesach, Ufanisa Vaboker Valachta Lo Alecha, that after you eat the Karban Pesach, you stay in your shlein until the next morning, and then you go back home. Now that Pasuk can't possibly mean that the next morning after you eat the Karban Pesach, you go back home, as Rashi points out over here, because there's an Isra of Tchum, and if your home is outside of the Tchum, you can't go back home on Yantif. That's how Rashi understands in Maseches Chagiga, that you can't violate the Isra of Tchum. So Tosos over here, in Dibur Maskel Fanisa Baboka, after he quotes Rashi, Pirish B'Kodesh Salkar Baboka Shal Cholkomer, Karli Boker Rishon, so Tosos says, he doesn't understand why do you have to say that it's talking about the first day of Yantif, and it's saying Isra Tchum, and it could be that it's going that you go back on Yantif and you live in the Tchum. Or furthermore, the Pasuk might mean literally. Who says everyone lives outside of Tchum? Some people live in the Tchum. And furthermore, Tosos asks that even though you can't explain the Pasuk is talking about the first day of Pesach, because it's Yantif, you can't violate Tchum, but the second day, which is Chol HaMoed, maybe it means that. Meaning, we're trying to show a raya for Rabbi Tarfon that you don't need to do Mariko Shtifa till the very end of Yantif. Who says the very end? Maybe you already do. Maybe the Pasuk is not talking about the very end, it's talking about Tez Zayin Nisan, which is Chol HaMoed. Furthermore, Tosos asks in Maseches Chagiga, the Shita of the Chachamim in Maseches Sotah and Daf Lamed is that Yisro Tchumin is only Drabbanan, right? Three-way machlokas. Either all of Tchumin is only Drabbanan, or Tchum Yudbeis Meal is Daraisa, but Tchum of Alpayim Amma is only Drabbanan. No, two-way machlokas. Those are the, right? Because everyone holds that Tchum of Alpayim Amma is only Drabbanan, right? But the Shita of the Chachamim is that all Tchumin are only Drabbanan. So how can you say that the Pasuk can't possibly mean go back home because it's a violation of Tchum? There's no such thing as a violation of Tchum from the Pasuk's perspective. So that's why Tosfos says, from the fact that you're now bringing the Karban Chagiga on Yom Tov Rishon, the fact that if a person does not bring a Karban Chagiga on Yom Tov Rishon, he can bring it Kol Achad Kulo, he can continue to bring it the whole Yantif. That's what the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Chagiga. So when the Torah says Baboker, it means after the days that you're able to bring your chiyuvim of day one, which means the entire yantiv. That's what we're learning from this pasuk. So anyway, back in the Gemara, my time is Rabbi Tarfon. Why is it that Rabbi Tarfon held that if you cook carbon meat in a kli, you don't need mikvah shtifa until the very end of the yantiv? Because the pasuk says if anisa baboker v'alachta la'alecha, it can't mean the next morning after you eat carbon pesach. What you see the Pasuk is doing is it's establishing that the entire Yom Tov of Pesach has the status of a single Boker. So Ufanisa Boker means the morning after Yom Tov is over. So just like as far as the din of Lina, it has a din of one long day, so too with regard to Mariko Shtifa, it's considered one long day, so you have to continue using that Kli throughout the entire Yom Tov. So the Gemara asks on Rabbi Tarfon, that wait a second, the Torah tells us that when you shaft the Karban Shlamim, so you eat it that day, Umi Macharas, and the following day, and whatever's left over until Yom HaShlishi, that's Ba'eshi Sarev, right? That's what you have to burn. But in Echol Yechol, Yom HaShlishi, Tugalu Lo Yeretzeh, that if a person who is Makar the Karban Shlamim already has in mind that he's going to eat it Chutz L'Zmano, that makes it Pigul. So Maskefla Revach Dabo Barami, Bechi Ein Pigul Beregel? Do you mean to tell me that there's no din of Pigul on Yantif, because it's all one long day anyway? There ain't no subregel, and then the Shlamim staying over till the third morning is no longer going to be considered no sir, because it's one long day. And if you'll say, yeah, it's one long day, it doesn't have a din of Shnei Yamim having passed yet, but Valtanya, you can't say that. We have a Breiser, Ella Zobulvad, that Rabbi Tarfon says that you may regular consider for one day only with regard to Mariko Shtifa. So you see, with regard to Pigal and Osir, even Rabbi Tarfon agrees that it's not considered one day. So the Gemara's Kasha is a Kasha. Why, when it comes to Osir and Pigal, does Rabbi Tarfon not consider the entire Yantif to be one day? Yet, when it comes to Mariko Shtifa, he considers the entire Yantif to be one day. So the Gemara explains the Sfar of Rabbi Tarfon entirely differently. Ella, why does Rabbi Tarfon hold Mariko Shtifa could be done only once at the end of Yantif, and it's not necessary to do it throughout Yantif? Each day of Yantif, you're kashering out whatever you cooked in it yesterday, because there are lots of korban shlamim on Yantif. So whatever lios there are from the previous day, when you cook in it the next day, that does the hagala to kasher out what was there the previous day. So none of the lios will ever become nosar. They'll all be niflat from the kli. So you'll never have lios of nosar in the kli. That only works if what you cooked in it yesterday was a korban shlamin, because a korban shlamin could be eaten for 2 days and one night. So then you could say a korban shlamin that I'm cooking today will kasher out the korban shlamin that I the taste of shlamin from yesterday, which has not yet become nosar. But let's say you cook a korban chatas. Halacha of korban chatas is only nechel liyom v'layla. So cooking a korban shlamin the next day is going to be too late. The blios already became nosar. So Rashi writes that when you're mevasha lechatas, you have to be very careful that the last korban you cook in a kli on any given day is a shlamim. So that way the shlamim will kasher out earlier in the day is chatas, and the next day it will kasher out the shlamim. So that lechora only explains why during the weekdays of Yantif, the Achronim point this out, it's a sharp point, crazy place, he points out, why during the weekdays of Yantif it's not necessary to do Mariko Shtifa, because you have every day you have Agala, but every Yantif has a Shabbos in the middle, and on Shabbos you're not allowed to stop, be cooking your Korban HaShlamim, so those pots were empty on Shabbos. So what's going to happen then? You have your Korban HaShlamim from Friday, how is that going to be kashered out? So that's taka, a very strong kasha. Okay, moving on. So the Mishnah said that, according to Rabbi Tarfon, if you cook in a kli at the beginning of Yantif, you're allowed to continue to cook in that kli throughout Yantif. The Chum Omrim ad Zman Achila. The Chum say, only till the Zman Achila. Maika Amr, what does that mean, only till the Zman Achila? Amram Nachman Amr Baravua, Mamtin la Zman Achila, Vad Rabbi Damuri Kushtifa. You wait for the amount of time that the amount of time that is a zman achila for that meat that you cooked in it, and then you do mariko ushtifa minani mili. How do I know that that's the case? Meaning the Gemara's question is based on what we said before, that the svar for bitarfin is that every day kashers out the previous day's cooking. So minani mili really means like, and why would the Chum say otherwise? Meaning, where do they derive this halacha? So, Rabbi Yochanan, Shmuel Yosef ben Abba, Ksiv Umorik v'Shutaf, Uksiv Kol Zachar Rakoyim Yochal, Hakeitzad Mamtin La Ad Zman Achila V'Had Rav La Umorik v'Shutifa. It's based on the pasuk, based on the psukim, that it says Umorik v'Shutaf, and then right next to that, the very next pasuk, Ve'yikra Pergavav Pasachal Umorik v'Shutaf. So we darshan that the smichus is to tell me that you wait ad zman achila and then you do mariko ushtifa. But mariko kumrika sakos, shtifa kushtifa sakos. We have that very vague expression in the Mishnah that what is mariko? Just like mariko sakos. What is shtifa? Just like shtifa sakos. So Tanu Rabbanan, mariko ushtifa bit so named divi Rebbe. Rebbe and mariko ushtifa are both done with cold water. B'chamom mariko b'chamin, shtifa bit so named. Mariko is done with hot water, shtifa with cold water. My time with the Rabbanan, why did the Rabbanan hold mariko has to be done with hot water? Midadava agiuli of the b'chavin. Just like we find when you have a kli that a guy cooks it, that you want to be machsher the kli, you need to use hot water. Cold water is not going to kasher out a kli. So too, when you machsher a kli after a kachim, you need to use hot water to kasher out the kli. For Rabbi Amalach, Hagala lo kamina. Rabbi says, I'm not talking about Hagala. Of course Hagala needs hot water. Ki kamina, l'mariko shtifa, the basar Hagala. You got to do Hagala also, but in addition to Hagala, you have to do mariko shtifa, and that's after the Hagala. And that's the mitzonein. The Rabbanan, why don't they hold like Rebbe that you do a Hagala and then a mariko shtifa? Because in Cain, if that were true, that mariko shtifa were both mitzonein, licht of kra, oh, marak marak, oh, shutaf shutaf. Why do I need two words that mean the same thing? If they're both bitzonim, they should have the same word. My umarak v'shutaf, shvaminam rikam b'chad m'shtifa bitzonim. It must mean different things. One is with hot, the other is with cold. V'rebi. How is Rebbe going to respond to that? Why does it say umarak v'shutaf? Why not just repeat the same word twice. Well, the Iksav Moramora Kavamina Trezim Nimarik or Trezim Yeshuta. If it would have said the same word twice, I would have said that you do the same thing twice. Meaning, yes, it's all with cold, and all with cold on the inside of the kli, right? Twice on the inside of the kli, or twice on the outside of the kli. L'kachsev morak v'shudaf, l'omelcha morika k'mik sakos, meaning on the inside, and shtifa k'shtifa sakos, on the outside, that the rinsing has to be done both inside and out, but it's all with cold water. So that explains the machlokas, whether marika is with hot water or not. Certainly shtifa is with cold water. Machlokas was only about marika, but everyone agreed that you do also need to get rid of the blios. The question is the marika enough to get rid of the blios, or you also need to do haga'ala prior to the marika shtifa? Okay, now we have a new Mishnah. Mishnah's been discussed. What happens to meat that gets cooked with other meat that has a different halachic status than it? Bisha bo kachim v'chulim. Let's say you cook in a kli both kachim meat and chulim meat. Oh, kachim 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 kalim. You cook in a kli both kachim kachim and kachim kalim. In yeshiva v'nosin tam, if the meat that is more limited, is more strict, gives tam into the meat that we're more lenient with, and then you have to treat the meat that we're more lenient with all the chumras that you would treat the meat that we're more stringent with. Therefore, the kachin kalim has to be treated with all the chumras of kachin kachin. The chulin would have to be treated with all the chumras of kachin. Right? It's always chamur, named to the mariko shtifa. But the kli that you cooked in does not require mariko shtifa like a regular kachin kachin kli, named psulim b'maga. And if the kachin kachin become pasul, the kachin kalim does not become pasul from its contact with the kachin kachin. Normally, if a piece of meat touches pasul kachin, that piece of meat becomes pasul as well. In this case, it does not. The Torah says by the Kapran Chatas, Kol Asher Yiga B'Vesara Yikdash, the Torah tells us, that anything, any food that touches Basar Chatas now takes on the din of the Chatas. And therefore, if the Chatas was Pasul, the food that touches it also becomes Pasul. If the Chatas is Kasher, then the food that touches it now is limited by all the same halachos as the Chatas. So the Mishnah explains that if the Kachin Kachin do not give tam to the Kachin Kalim, then the Kalim does not become Pasul B'maga of the Kachin Kachin, nor is it limited. The Gemara is going to explain that it seems to be a stira in the Mishnah, right? We started off by saying that it takes on all the chumras of that which it touches, and we said, oh yeah, it doesn't become pasul maga, the kli is not going to need mariku shtifa. So we'll explain that that's so that when it's not balei at the time, right, these last couple lines, we'll see in the Gemara. Rakik shenaga berakik, if you have rakik, which is one of the minim that are brought with a carbon toda, meaning it's a type of wafer, a type of bread, that touches another rakik, a rakik that's pasul, that touches a rakik that's kosher, and there's a bliya, v'chaticha b'chaticha, or a piece that's pasul touches a piece of meat that's kosher, lo kala rakik, lo kala chaticha, asurin eno asa elamokim shabala. If the tam did not spread throughout the entire rakik, or throughout the entire chaticha, only the part that actually absorbed that tam is going to have the status of the psul, or of the more chamur thing. Good, so now the Gemara explains, my ka'amar, what in the world is Mishnah telling us? First it says that if the basar chamur gives tam to the basar kal, so the kal has to be treated with all of the chumras. And then it says, oh yeah, but don't worry, you don't need mariko shtifa like the basar chamur. And the basar chamur is not pasul the basar kal with maga. What do you mean? I thought it takes on all the chumras. It says, mar im yesh ben benosim tam, maria kal nechal kachamurin. No, the Mishnah is missing a few words. What it means to say is that if it is actually nosin tam, ala chumras. You know, it's got to take on every single chumra. Ain ben nosin tam. If it actually does not nosin tam, then ain akalin echalin kachamurim. Then it does not, the more kal meat does not take on the chumras of the more chamur meat. The ain turum rikushtifa, the ain pulsum maga. That's where the whole last part of the Mishnah comes from. The next part of the Mishnah comes from, that it doesn't require rikushtifa. And it's not going to be pasul b'madha. So says the Gemara, v'nehi dekachi kachim lobo, granted, the Gemara says, when we said that if the basa kachi kachim doesn't doesn't give time to the basar kachim kalim. It doesn't require mrikos shtifa. So I understand it doesn't require mrikos shtifa like the din of kachim kachim because it's batal. But kachim kalim nibai. But nevertheless, it should still require mrikos shtifa like kachim kalim requires mrikos shtifa. Amar abai my ain tunin the kamar kachim kachim. Avol kachim kalim tuunin. When we say ain tuunin, when the Tana says it doesn't require mrikos shtifa, it means it doesn't require mrikos shtifa after the Zman of Achilas Kachi Kachim, meaning after the Yom V'Laila, where you're not allowed to eat Kachi Kachim anymore. But once the Zman is up from eating the Kachim Kalim, which is 2 days and one night, then Ein Achinam, you're still going to require Mariko Shtifa. And Rava Amar, nah, Hamani Rabbi Shimoni, don't require Kachim Kalim, don't do Mariko Shtifa. We're just assuming like Rabbi Shimon, who holds the Kachim Kalim, don't require Mariko Shtifa at all. That was in Daf Tzadi Ein Beis. We had that Machlokes, to Kachim Kalim also require Mariko Shtifa or not. So maybe our Mishnah just assumes, like Rabbi Shimon. So two explanations why our Mishnah assumes that you don't need Mariko Shtifa if the Kachim Kalim still gets to be treated like Kachim Kalim. Either because it does need Mariko Shtifa, it just gets an extra day like Kachim Kalim normally do, or it doesn't need Mariko Shtifa because we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon that Kachim Kalim never require Mariko Shtifa. So it says Mar Bish, Lomel Rava, I understand Rava's approach that our Mishnah is following Rabbi Shimon. And the Mishnah is teaching me that Kachim Kalim do not require Mariko Shtifa, meaning a kli that you cook Kachim Kalim in will never require Mariko Shtifa. Hainu de Ketanio Kachim Kachim Kalim. That's why the Mishnah needs an additional example. Right? The Mishnah already gave an example where you're cooking Kachim and Chulin in the same pot and already told me all the rules. Why does it need a second example where you're cooking Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim in the same pot? So I understand it's teaching me a Chiddush that Kachim Kalim doesn't require Mariko Shtifa. I wouldn't have known that from the first case of the Mishnah. El Abaye Tarti Lomli, but according to Abaye, the Kachim Kalim also requires Mariko Shtifa. What's the Chiddush of this second halacha in the Mishnah? So it says Mar Tzrichi. If we only would have had the case of kachim and chulin, I would say that it's only when you cook chulin with kachim and the kachim was not sufficient to be nosein tam into the chulin, that's where we say that the kachim are batel in the chulin, and don't worry about it, the chulin is still perfectly intact and perfectly fine as chulin. Why is there bitul? Delav minayim, because this is clearly min b'she'eino mino, right? You have two separate meat, one is chulin, one is kachim, there's a conflict. So whenever there's conflict, one will overwhelm the other and be mevatel the other. Aval kachim kachim v'kachim kalim. But when you have two things that are essentially the same, just slightly variant levels of kedusha, but they're both very kadosh things, I would think the kachim kachim does not become batel in the kachim kalim. I think what the Gemara is saying over here is the svara that the Ran says in Maseches Nedarim, when the Ran describes why it is that a davar sheyesh lo matirin doesn't become batel, right? The Ran says that how does bittul work in general? Bittul works when you have conflict, when you have two things that are in conflict with each other, and one of them has to overpower the other. So if you have a giant vat of chicken soup and a tiny drop of milk, so the chicken soup will overwhelm the milk. It's conflict. But let's say you have chicken soup and other chicken soup, so there's no conflict. You have kosher chicken soup and treif chicken soup, even though it's just a tiny drop. So that's what we call min bimino. That explains the sheet of min bimino eino batel, because it's never going to be batel. It's only going to be enhanced by what's there. So the Ran is mechadish, just like you have this notion of min bimino and min b'she'eino mino in mitzius, in tam, in taste. You also have the concept of it. Where's this Ran? The Darman and Beis, I think. You also have this concept of min bimino, min b'she'eino mino in halacha. That halachically things are considered so something that's usher right now and something that's mutter right now is conflict. So the heter could overwhelm the isser and could be mevatel it. But something that is inherently a dover heter, it's just right now it's usher, but it's yesh lo matirin, it will be mutter, says the Ran. That's going to be something that's inherently mutter. There's not enough of a conflict with something that's always mutter for one to overwhelm the other. So it becomes like a min b'minus over here also. When you deal with kachim versus chulin, yeah, the chulin could overwhelm the kachim. They're in conflict. When you deal with kachim kachim versus kachim kalim, it's not a real conflict. They're both kadosh. They're both sort of working toward the same goal. So you're not going to. So I would think that it doesn't work. That there is no betel. The itam kachim 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 kalim. And I only have the case of kachim 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 kalim. Have a mina kachim udalimi lebetuli kachim. I would think that in order to be mevatel kachim, you need other kachim. Right? Only then can you be mevatel kachim. Kachim, aval chulin ein melo. But I would think, how could chulin be mevatel kachim? A little bit of kachim has got to be more powerful klape chulin than anything. everything else. So tzrichas. That's why we need both halachas, both cases, both examples in the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah went on to say, rakik shenaga berakik, that if one of the wafers touched another wafer, or a chaticha touched another chaticha, not all of the rakik, nor is all of the chaticha necessarily going to be aser, only the part that was actually boleya. So Tanur Rabban, the Braisa tells us as follows, kol asher yiga, we say in the Pasuk tells us, by a Korban Chatos, that anything that touches the Chatos becomes the Chatos. It's Yikdash, it becomes like it. So Yachla, Filu Shalom Bala, you might think that, that's true even if it's not Boleya from the Chatos. Tamlomar Bivsara, Ad Sheyivla, Bivsara. The word Bivsara, the Chazal will always use to darshan that there's something deeper. Even though it doesn't sound like it, I would never want to make that drasha. Bivsara, it's in its basar, I don't know. Chazal always in Nida. Bivsara, achetargish bivsara. How do I know that a woman who, to become a Nida has to have a hargasha, some sort of sensation that it's not enough, that there's a zivas dam, that there's a flow of blood in her body? Because it says the bivsara, that she has the flow of blood, bivsara. So the Maradar says, oh, she must have a hargasha. There's got to be something more there. So similar to Joshua, achayivla bivsara. Till the fats of the chata somehow get into the basar of the shlamin, becomes balua in it, that's how it affects it. So I might think if part of the chaticha touches the chatos, that the entire chaticha of the shlamin becomes possible. That only that which actually touched becomes possible. Okay, so how do you like mark off, you know, which area touched and which didn't? You cut off the piece, then the spot where it actually was boleya. So the Gemara continues to darshan. Biv Sara, it says, that only if it touched the basra of the chatas does it become like it, v'loba gidin. But not if it touches the sinews, v'loba tzamos, not if it touches the bones, v'loba karnayim, v'loba tlafayim, not the, the horns or the hooves. That's not enough to affect it. Yikdash, lios kamon. Yikdash means it becomes like it. Hakit, so what does it mean becomes like it? Impsulihi, if the chatas meat that it touched was pasul chatas meat, it's pigul, it's nosar, tipasel, then whatever meat touched that pasul chatas meat also becomes pigul or nosar. The imksheilihi, and if the chatas meat is kosher, te'achol kechamur shaba, then it should be eaten like the more chamur of the two, since the chaticha that touched now has taste of two karbanos in it, we give it the chumra of the more chamur of the two karbanos. And therefore, it's got to be Melisechrekuna, Lefnibinaklayin, Liyam Valayla, right, with all the chummas. Okay, Amai. Now the Gemara asks, so this then, that if it's pasul, then the meat that touches it becomes pasul. Why is basar shlamin that touches a chatas now going to become pasul, and now you're not going to eat the shlamin? Think about it for a second. Basar shlamin, you have a mitzvah daraisa to eat the basar shlamin. So now that it touched the chatas, and the chatas, let's say, was pigul, so now this basar shlamim is also, in addition to the mitzvah, it's also pigul. See, normally when something becomes pigul, there's no mitzvah anymore. When it's pigul, it now becomes an isser to eat it, because it's v'chayv karmis, right? It's an isser to eat because it's pigul. But over here, the shlamim didn't really become pigul, it absorbed pigul. So, you know, the shlamim is still inherently the mitzvah, as far the shlamim shabo is still a mitzvah. It's just that in addition to the shlamim, we've superimposed chatas that is pickled on this piece of shlamim, and the chatas shabo is an iser. So says the Gemara, why don't we say the nesi asay v'lichayis los asay? The asay of the achilas karmen shlamim should be dochad los asay of eating the pickle. You should be allowed to do that. So it says Gemara, two reasons why we can't do that. Number one, Amar Rava, ein asay dochas los asay shalom midash. We don't apply asay dochalos say in the mikdash. Namar the etzem lo sishbukam. How do I know this? Because by the Korban Pesach it says you're not allowed to break a bone in Pesach. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh yomer echad etzem shish b'moach. That's even if there's marrow, which has a din of basar inside the bone. Echad etzem shish b'moach, whether there's no marrow in it. Amai. Now, why, if there's marrow in the bone and there's a mitzvah sasei to eat the basar of the Pesach, why don't we say asay dochalos asay nesi asay velichyas lo sasei? Ella ein asay dochalos asay shem nedash. It must be because we don't apply the din of asay dochalos asay shem nedash. It's beautiful Ramban on the Torah where he explains why it is that ein asay dochalos asay shem nedash. Ramban explains that mitzvah sasei are a reflection of avas Hashem. When you love someone, you want to do for them. You go out of your way to do something positive for them. Mitzvos lo sasei are a reflection of yiras Hashem. When you're afraid of somebody, you step on eggshells a little bit. You're afraid to cross them. You're afraid to do the wrong thing. Normally, a person's ahava has to overwhelm his yira. Ahava is the higher madrega. Asay, tochalos asay, says the Ramban. It sounds like almost like a chassidus of art. There's Ramban al Torah. But he says, in the mikdash, es mikdashai tira'u. Yira is the overwhelming sentiment, the overwhelming feeling in the Mikdash. So dafka in the Mikdash, in different places, we're supposed to emphasize, you know, just like at different times we're supposed to emphasize different emotions, in different places we're supposed to emphasize different emotions. In the Mikdash, Yira is the attitude that we're supposed to have. Outside of the Mikdash, Ahava. Always both, but it's a question of balance. How much of each are we supposed to have? Good, so that's why in Asei Dokhados, Asei Shabbat. Okay, Rav Ashi Yamar. Rav Ashi says the reason why we're not going to say dopalosa say over here to be matir eating the pasul kodesh that was boleya the pasul carbon chatos is for something else, because the pasuk says yikdash. Yikdash is asehu. That's an asei. That the basar that touched, the basar chatos that's possible, that it becomes like it, is not only a los asei, that it's now pigle and you can't have it, it's also an asei. Ve'in asei docha los asei ve'asei. An asei cannot be docha a los asei ve'asei. An asei can be docha a los asei, but it can't be docha a los asei ve'asei. Which is an interesting question. It's chakir and achronim. What are the mechanics? Milchus Chinuch discusses. Ein asei docha los asei ve'asei. Why? Is it that the asei is docha the los asei, but once it's docha the los asei, you still have the other asei still there? Or do we say no? The fact that something is both an asei and a los asei is a reflection of a higher madrega, and that, or a more severe type of inyan. So if it's a more severe inyan, it's too strong for the asei to be docha at all, and the los asei is still there. Nafkamina says Milchus Chinuch Malkus. Let's say you make the wrong choice and you violate the one that has the los asei v'asei. Are you chayv malchus? So if you say the asei was really docha the los asei, so all you violated was an asei. But if you say that the asei is not docha the los asei at all because it's too big of a los asei, so then you would say that there is no malchus. There's a lot of other fascinating discussions over here. You know, the idea, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma and Daf Lametes, that in the Bayis Sheni, in the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol, there was such great bracha in the Lechem HaPanim that every Kohen was mekabel a kezayis of the Lechem HaPanim, and some Kohanim ate a kezayis and they were fully satiated. And not only that, there are Kohanim that had left over from their kezayis, meaning they couldn't even eat the full kezayis. And after Shimon HaTzadik died, every Kohen only got kipul, a size of an adasha, of a lentil, and they only the gargarim, only the gluttonous Kohanim would even take, the tznuim wouldn't take. So the Nadav Yehuda in Agos, Dorish Letzion, it's actually Nadav Yehuda's son, has a safek, is one mekayim the mitzvah of achilas kachim when you eat less than a kezayis. Achilas kachim, you need a kezayis like all mitzvahs achila, like achilas matzah and everything else, and every kohen who got a kapul would give to his friend or would sell his chelek in order that the friend should get a kezayis, meaning that would be the most mistaver thing to assume. It's new and emotionally a day, because it's not going to help them. What am I going to take a pull? I can't even do the mitzvah with a piece of a size of the dash. It's a mitzvah's achila. So that's why, that's what he explains. That's why they would be Moshe Chedem. That's what the Maritz Chayis in Yuma explains Rashi, that's why the Tznum didn't take, because they didn't get Kazayis anyway. So even though there is a mitzvah of Achil's Kachim, see, normally you can't say, oh no, I'm Ochel, on a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah, yeah, I'm Ochel, I'm Tznua, I'm not going to take. But there's not going to be a mitzvah anyhow, so they're not going to be able to accomplish anything. So based on that, says the Maritz Chayis, we could be poshet the suffix of the Shvas Yaakov. Shvas Yaakov is a famous suffix. Let's say you're stuck on Pesach, one kezayis of matzah. Okay, one kezayis, I can do the mitzvah, not so fast. Let's say there are two Jews and one kezayis of matzah. So is there any value in splitting it? Meaning, do you have to just figure out who gets it so that person can do the mitzvah? Or is there a partial mitzvah by eating a chatzi zayis
of matzah. So the Maritz Chayis thought that this is a raya that pachas mikzayis is no mitzvah whatsoever. That's why the tzrum or moshchin yedeim. Chassam Sofer says no, it's not a raya from lechem apanim to achilas matzah mor, because by achilas matzah every person has a mitzvah sachila, and even if there's no shir kazayis, you eat whatever you have. Lechem apanim, there's no mitzvah on the kohanim to eat it. The mitzvah is not to leave any over, to make sure it all gets eaten. So I mean, the reason the tzrum were moshchin yedeim, because they had every confidence that all of it would get eaten. And that's the whole mitzvah, just make sure the whole thing gets eaten. But by matzah, there's a mitzvah for you to participate, for you to eat. So maybe eating pachas mikzayis will work. Why am I mentioning this now? Because the Chassam Sofer and the Tshuva Archaim Sun Memtes brings a raya from our sugya that the achilas kachim, you're not mekayim a mitzvah if you eat that you're not mekayim a mitzvah unless you eat a kazayis. Why? Because our Gemara says that basar kodesh, like a basar shlam, has tam of basar pigal in it from the chatas, you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, I say docha lo sasei. So the Gemara answers, ein asei docha lo sasei shab mikdash. Says it some sofer. If there's a mitzvah sasei of eating kachim pachos mikazayis, have a simple eitzah. If you could be mekayim both, ein asei is docha lo sasei only when it's an irreconcilable conflict. Right, if there's a way to be mekayim the asay without violating the los asay, we don't say asay docha los asay. Some sofer says, well, shouldn't you have a way to do it? The asay and the los asay could both be fulfilled. Just eat pachos mikazayis. You'll be mekayim the mitzvah asay of achilas kachim, and the lav of achilas kodesh pasul is only the kazayis. So it must be that the mitzvah asay of achilas kachim is also only the kazayis. I don't know why he is. I would have assumed that the two are connected to each other. No, chatzi shir asur min haTorah. I thought that was always the whole chakira about a mitzvah sachila of pachas mikzayis. I always thought that whole chakira is, it's not the same mitzvah. It's a question of, just like we say chatzi shir asur min haTorah, but it's a lower level. It's not no onesh. So to maybe chatzi shir mitzvah min haTorah, but not the same level mitzvah. So I'm not exactly sure what the Chassam Sofer is talking about. There's also a very famous Beis Halevi in the Tshuva's Beis Halevi, where he distinguishes between achilas karbanos in general and achilas karban Pesach. He says achilas karbanos, normally the mitzvah of achilas karbanos is not a mitzvah achila on you to eat, to do a maisa achila. It is to make sure sheyehenecha, that the carbon gets eaten, that the entire carbon gets ingested by humans. But even if everyone gets less than a kazayis, it was all ingested by human beings. But from Pesach, there's tzvei dinim. There's a din that sheyehei ne'achal, and even the Beis Halevi didn't often talk in tzvei dinim, he left that for his son, but that sheyehei ne'achal, and a mitzvah sachila. You also need to eat a kazayis. See, that's how he explains so beautifully. The Gemara says in a couple of places, I think in Nazir Chaf Gimel, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara says that if a person eats a korban Pesach, alasova, an achilas gasa rather, he's korban Pesach v'achilas gasa. So one shita says he wasn't mekayim anything. The other shita says, he granted he didn't do a mitzvah min hamuvchar, but he did a mitzvah, says Beis Halevi. What does it mean, a mitzvah without a mitzvah min hamuvchar? He says, it doesn't just mean it's really nice to eat when you're hungry and not so nice to eat when you're full. He says, no, achila gasa is lo shmei achila. It's not called achila, but sheyehi ne'echal, that it is. So when you eat a korban Pesach, achilas gasa, you didn't do the mitzvahs achila, but you did the mitzvah that applies uniquely to Korban Pesach, but you did the mitzvah she'enachal that applies to all korbanos. So you did part of the mitzvah. That's how he answers the stira that Tosus asks. Because Tosus on the spot there, I think it's Nazir Chav Gimel, if I'm not mistaken, asks the Kasha, how can you say that when you eat an achila gasa mitzvah miyaka'avid, the Gemara in Yuma tells us, you do eat an achila gasa in Yom Kippur, you pata. Achila gasa is lo shmei achila. So that's the base of his matarit. Tos gives a different type. Tos says different types of achil gasa. There's gasa, you know. But Beis Halevi gives like this very, clearly defined teretz, that there's achil gas is not achila, but it is ne'echal. It is a fulfillment of ne'echal. Ooh, we're almost out of time. Let's go weiter over here. Says the Gemara, Ashkechon chatas to miskadish bebelua. So we find that a korban chatas is mekadish that which touches it. Shar kachem inol, and how do I know the same is true by other kachem as well? So Amar Shmuel, Mishmar Belazar, Zos hator lo'olav l'mincha v'lechatas v'lashm l'milum zevach ha'shlamim, that we compare all the korbanos to each other because we learn halachas from one to the other. La'ola ki ola. From la'ola we learn that all korbanos in a certain way are like an ola. Ma'ola tu nekli, afkol tu unekli. Just like an ola requires a kli, all korbanos require a kli. What does that mean? My kli. What kli are we talking about that we're learning from an ola? Ilema mizrak, if it's telling us the mizrak that we learn from the ola that you need to be makabal the dam in that special cup that you're makabal the dam in. So just like the ola requires that, so to every korban needs a mizrak. So why would I need to learn that from Ola? It says it explicitly in the pasuk by Ishlamim. Ella sakin. It must be telling me that just like an Ola needs a sakin, and you can't do the shechita with a kone, with an even, with anything like that, with any other sharp instrument, because you need kli shari specifically. So that must be we're saying we learn from Ola. Okay, great. But how do I know that that's true by an Ola, that you need dafka a sakin that's kli sharis? Says Avram took the machelas, so he took a knife, a sakin, vahasam olahu, and over there it's an ola. Yitzchak was an ola. Excuse me. How do I know that? Dechsiv vayelei ola tachas beno, because the animal that was brought as an ola. The ayil was brought as an ola tachas beno, implying that Yitzchak was an ola. The Achronim ask a very strong kasha. That's Vayikra Perek Chav Beis. I mean, Bereishis Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel. 11 pasukim earlier, Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Beis. It says Vahaaleu Sham laola, that Yitzchak should be brought as an ola. Wouldn't that be a more direct limud than to say that the animal in his place was in place of the ola? The Tiferes Yaakov suggests that even though it's mefurish in the pasuk that Yitzchak was an ola, you can't learn dine adam to dine behema. And we want to know about dine behema over here by a regular korban ola. Okay, we'll stop there, but we're going to see from this pasuk that we learned something about all korbanos from each of these korbanos. We just did the ola so far.